Welcome back to JR Morning. An immigration enforcement operation in Minneapolis now under intense scrutiny after federal agents with ICE shot and killed a woman during a raid. They say the shooting was justified, but city leaders are pushing back hard, calling for transparency and accountability. That puts the spotlight on the FBI and how it investigates incidents involving other federal agencies, especially when deadly force is used. And joining us now to help break down what the process looks like and what questions investigators will be asking is Daniel Roberts, retired assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division. Daniel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be back with you.
So when an ICE agent is involved in a fatal shooting, what automatically triggers FBI involvement? And what does the FBI's role actually look like in the, let's say, first 24, 48 hours?
Right. So the FBI has some pretty wide-ranging jurisdiction on these cases. There's a couple of different ways that the FBI becomes involved. Number one, they have jurisdiction over what they call assault on a federal officer. And that could be virtually any employee of the federal government who becomes assaulted in any way, shape, or form. The FBI does have jurisdiction to investigate that. So that could be anybody from a federal prosecutor, say, to any law enforcement agency. If they're actually assaulted during the performance of their duties, the FBI has jurisdiction with that. Additionally, they also have jurisdiction, and I know there's been some discussion about whether this was a domestic terrorism, quote-unquote, case. And of course, the FBI has jurisdiction to run those investigations as well. That one, to me, is a little bit more questionable as to whether there is actually a domestic terrorism nexus to this case or not. But the investigation will bear that out.
So when you saw this, I mean, everyone's entrenched in their sides and people are outraged that the state should be involved. You weren't, because this seems like protocol.
It is protocol. And this is something that that the FBI does every day. You just likely don't hear about it because it doesn't have the national attention. A lot of times it involves, you know, an unnamed federal, you know, agency that's out doing their job, and they become taken under fire or they're assaulted in some way. The FBI would have in jurisdiction to investigate that case. A lot of times those are done with local authorities as well. And then they decide later on, should we pursue federal charges or should we take this locally? And it just depends on which has the better case.
Does the Bureau ever feel a sense of urgency in investigations like this? Because obviously people want answers here.
Sure. Absolutely. And this will be put on, a priority for them as well. I'm sure they have mustered all kinds of resources from Quantico, Virginia, where their laboratory is, for example. I'm sure they have sent them to the scene there to conduct a lot of the evidence recovery and things like that. So, yes, there is those types of decisions done every day. In fact, in my later stages of my career with them as a manager, those are the types of decisions that you have to make on a daily basis. Where do I prioritize the case today? Where do we send more resources to get that going? Something like this, where it's got the public's attention, absolutely, there would be more resources sent to it to address everything right away.
Daniel, when you have video footage that's circulating online and officials saying what you see is what you get, how does the FBI actually treat civilian video? Do they treat it as evidence, or is it context, or is it something that still needs some heavy scrutiny?
Sure. It's just another piece of evidence, along with all the other deep dive that they're going to be doing on this case. They will look at every piece of video that they can get, and they may even have some that that the public hasn't seen. You know, if they're looking at, you know, Ring doorbell cameras in the area, for example, or any businesses that may have video footage that we haven't seen yet. So, yeah, that is certainly part of the investigation, but that's only one small piece of it. They're going to be doing a deep dive on the motivations of this driver, the victim in this case, who ended up passing away. They're going to be looking at her background and finding out if she was radicalized, if she was part of a domestic terrorism organization. They'll be looking at that and doing social media reviews, interviewing witnesses, doing all kinds of evidence recovery. So it's just one piece of the entire investigation. It's not, you know, it's not the end all, the be all.
What about this idea that officials came out and sort of said several things about this victim very quickly? Is that something that could harm the investigation?
You know, it's possible that it could. I know we in law enforcement would prefer not to talk about the case in the media. especially while it's being investigated. It just doesn't help law enforcement really that much to do that. But those are political decisions that are made by politicians, and they're usually the ones you don't hear anybody in law enforcement talking about, you know, the background of the ICE officer that was involved or the background of the victim in this case. Those are likely political decisions, and frankly, most of the time they don't help the actual investigation at all.
And Governor Walz pointed to Minnesota's handling of the George Floyd case as proof that the state can conduct fair and high-profile investigations. From your perspective and your experience, Dan, what makes an investigation credible in the eyes of the public? Who leads it, and how transparent it is? Is that one of the criteria?
Well, at the end of the day, the FBI will do a very credible investigation. They always do, and the results of their investigation will be proven in the court filings and everything else, and people will be able to scrutinize it after it's over with. This one is a little bit unique in that oftentimes the FBI tries to partner with state and local law enforcement agencies to conduct investigations, and from what I see in the media is that the politically charged nature of this case has directed that the FBI just take it over by themselves and work it as a single agency type of investigation. Normally it's good to work together with state and local law enforcement because state and local law enforcement has some great resources that they can bring to bear. But in this case, there's such a politically charged environment that I guess the FBI decided to just take this one singly, and they certainly have the resources to be able to conduct this. In fact, I would argue that the FBI probably has more resources than any other law enforcement agency in the world to conduct this types of investigation.
Daniel Roberts, retired assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division. Always appreciate you coming on and giving us your insight. Thanks a lot.
Well, it's my pleasure. Have a good day.
You as well.
You know who didn't rush to judgment was Tom Holman. On CBS
right.
News, the border czar, he said he would reserve judgment while an investigation is underway. And then he later came out with a statement that more mirrored everybody else. But initially, he had that reaction.
Yeah.
Which is the appropriate one.
That's the one.
In my opinion.
Absolutely.
This same officer has been identified, this ICE officer. He was the same officer who had his arm pinned in the back of a window in one of these other raids and was dragged for about 100 yards.
Okay.
In this car, as somebody was trying to get away. He had multiple lesions, cuts, things like that. His arm required 33 stitches in this incident. This is the same officer that was involved in this. He's also a firearms training officer within the department. So this is somebody that has seen a lot in his time in the department.
The Friday edition of JR Morning continues after this.